listening to a podcast made in collaboration with the Copenhagen College Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of the Social Media and Politics Podcast, bringing you firsthand insights into how social media is changing the way we engage with politics in the digital age. I'm your host, Michael Pesetta, PhD student and political communication researcher at the University of Copenhagen. Thanks for joining us, and if you like what we're doing, tell a friend, tell a colleague, let your networks know we're out there. You can follow us on Twitter at SMNP Podcast or find our Facebook page, facebook.com/socialmediapoliticspodcast. All right, so far episodes have mostly had a European focus, but today we're taking up the U.S. context and diving straight into the thick of what is perhaps the most polarizing American election of all time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, delete your account. The Trump-Clinton race has Americans divided and at each other's throats. Love or hate the candidates, if there's one positive thing we can say about this election, it's inspiring a lot of activism on both sides of the aisle. My guest today is Emily Longworth, spokesperson for the Hillary for Prison movement, a grassroots organization with the ultimate goal of, you guessed it, sending Hillary Clinton to prison. On their website, hillaryforprison.net, you can find, quote, top quality gear built for top-notch activism. The organization sells a host of merchandise, ranging from campaign classics like bumper stickers and yard signs, to more innovative products like camouflage koozies and bacon-scented gun lube. Yes, bacon-scented gun lube. Instagram lags behind other social media like Facebook and Twitter when it comes to political campaigning. From the academic side of things, there just hasn't been that much published on the political uses of Instagram. But from the few presentations I've seen at conferences, Instagram just is not a hotbed of political activity. Overall, it seems that politicians and parties just maintain a presence on Instagram because they have to. So it's more of an extension of political campaigning than a site where political mobilization is taking place. But perhaps it's a different story when it comes to political activism on the part of citizens. Joining me now via Skype from Washington, D.C. is Emily Longworth, spokesperson for the Hillary for Prison campaign. Emily, thanks for joining us and welcome to the Social Media and Politics podcast.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
So can you tell us what the Hillary for Prison campaign is all about?
Yeah, well, you said it, sending Hillary Clinton to prison. That's really our main goal. At the end of the day, we want to see her prosecuted, indicted, and, you know, held accountable for her actions or lack thereof.
And when I was doing a little bit of background research on the episode, I was looking at your site and I didn't see the type of content there typical of an activist group website. For example, detailed information about your motivations, your demands, and how exactly you're going to accomplish what you set out to do. Instead, you list that your aim is to serve as a merchandising and messaging headquarters for others' campaign efforts. So what's the motivation being so focused on merchandise, and what do you use the profits for?
We've donated a lot to Benghazi charities. We've also donated to the Glenn Doherty Foundation. One of our friends knew and worked with him. We've also, a lot of our proceeds go to the Special Operations Wounded Warrior Project, the SOWW.com. So, and then the money that we, after the proceeds are donated, goes right back into merchandising and advertisement. So really, it's just all about the message. And really, the reason why we don't, you know, have that biography or our intentions listed is because it's really just in the title, you know, Hillary for prison. That's exactly what we want. So we don't want to fluff it up or anything else. It's really just straight to the point.
Right. And so as on the topic of merchandising, I'm dying to know more about this bacon scented gun lube. How did you come up with that? And is it a hot seller?
One of our dealers actually came up with that idea. He manufactured a version originally called Liberal Tears. It originally started out as a joke, but people ended up loving it, so they took it and ran with it. They ended up partnering up with us, and they liked that, you know, what we had, so we just kind of combined the merchandise, and then, you know, the bacon grease came out. So, and it's really actually a really good stand form of CLP, and it's got that little bit of a smoke smell to it, and mm-hmm. The bacon doesn't love bacon. Rhetorical question, of course.
Right.
So it really is good. I use it too. I love it so much.
Seems like that's a recurring theme in the campaign with Ted Cruz wrapping some bacon around his assault rifle.
Yeah. You gotta have humor with it, though. You know, in politics, it's so serious today, and it should be taken seriously. But sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of humor in it, and it's a great selling item. So, and we're sold out all the time. So
great. So, can you tell me a bit more about your social media presence? So what platforms are you on? And is there a difference between how you use them?
Yeah, we've got Instagram, Facebook, and our website. There's not really a huge difference. We use photos and videos from the media, keeping it very topical, and looking at the latest news articles on the scandals without replacing the news, but emphasizing the points and the scandals that the news articles bring up. Social media for us is not just about speaking online and engaging our viewers and audience directly, but more so enabling them to share and have their own conversations. You know, our audience will see it in the news and then see the meme that we create about it, and they share it, helping to educate their friends both on social media and in real life. So it's really just a win-win.
All right. And so the focus of this episode is specifically about Instagram. And you've got a pretty broad reach with over 35,000 followers on Instagram. So what role does Instagram play in your overall campaign strategy, or why are you using it?
It's just kind of the way that society seems to work these days. I read somewhere that America has an attention span of 8 seconds. So if it's in paragraph form, people aren't going to want to take the time to read it. But if they see that meme or they see a picture, then they can take that visualization and express it outwards into emotion or words. And it helps get people, you know, start talking and taking advantage, really understanding that there's more to politics than what they hear or what, you know, the media may say. And it's nice to see them interacting with each other. And, you know, we on our Instagram, we use the hashtags, helping to obviously further the reach. People will explore those hashtags and say, oh, okay, well, what's this? And then from that, they go to our Instagram page and say, okay, well, you've not just got this, which I like or dislike, but you've also got a lot of other things too. Let me just follow you and kind of see where you're going with this. So it's really been an interesting concept. You know, I wouldn't have ever imagined that Instagram in itself would gain so many followers, especially for a political reach, but it has, because on our Instagram, we take, you know, there's the education side of it, and then there's the twisted dark humor side of it. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, it's nice to have a little bit of humor in there, but, you know, people see a vast, you know, variety of differences between the seriousness and the humor. It kind of coincides with each other, and it seems to work.
Right. And I'm just curious, because you have something like, I think as a recording, you have 37,000 Instagram followers, but you're only following 103. Who are those accounts that you're following?
Probably those counts have started early on, and they're also most likely other individuals who have interesting views on that, or post a meme that we can take ideas from that, and kind of, you know, run with it, work with it, tweak it a little bit, or, you know, those people will post things that give us an idea for something completely different.
Okay. And when I was looking at the content of your Instagram posts, I noticed in particular, two things that stuck out. First, it's that you post a lot of memes, which you've been touching on a little bit. Why memes?
Well, like I said, you know, it's, for instance, the Kardashians. They have taught individuals that if it's not about image, then it's not worth your time. So if you see it and you look at it, it's easier to kind of become emotionally involved or involved with than if you were to have to take the time to read through something and understand something. And, you know, to be honest with you, with social media these days, there are some things that I wasn't even aware of that I would see somebody else post about, or something that would bring awareness to me and say, hey, okay, I want to understand what that's about. I kind of want to dig into that a little bit deeper. And it's helped to educate me as well. And then, like I said, there's also the humor side of it. So
right. And the second thing I want to point out is that most of the content, the large majority, is anti-Hillary, which is to be expected given the campaign's message. But it's not so much that the content is pro-Trump. So is there a reason for that?
Our main focus is not to sway people into voting for who we think should be president. It's swaying people away from voting who we know does not deserve to be president. We don't endorse any particular candidate. Our main mission and focus is to make sure that Hillary Clinton is prosecuted and indicted and found guilty for her treason.
So just switching to the content of the posts, Do you have an idea about which posts drive the most engagement in terms of likes and comments?
Really, we've got a diverse crowd, to be honest with you. We've got people that we like to call the educators, the explainers, where, you know, they see something and they'll go into depth about it. Hey, I know what you're talking about. This is what I think about it. These are some facts behind it. Here's what I've read about it. And then we've, of course, got the people who are rah, rah, rah. I'm going to, you know, kill you with vitriolic diatribe and you know, that'll be that. And, you know, that's just the cookie crumbles. But it's really nice to know that, one, we've got a diverse crowd. You know, people aren't just completely being sheep and, you know, going with everything that we say. But two, that we're actually helping to enable people to interact with each other on more than just a subliminal or standard level. You know, they're really engaging, taking advantage of their political realms of their brain. And if it takes a meme to do that, as sad as that is, then we're going to take advantage of that. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here to help educate people and get them to understand this is what's going on. You can like it or you cannot like it, but at least involve yourself in it, because this is our country. This is your decision too. You know, play an active part in it and make the change that you want to see, instead of just sitting on your couch and complaining about, oh, well, I don't like this, but I'm not going to say anything because, you know, I don't believe that I hold the power to do that. So,
and in terms of bringing people together, I mean, I was surprised when I was looking at the number of comments that that some of your posts get, going upwards of 300 and more. So can you tell our listeners what's going on in these comment fields? Are users interacting and debating with one another, or are they doing something else?
They do. You know, it's actually quite humbling to see such a political biased movement that we have. We've got people from all over the country, all over the world, who are interacting in those comment sections, who are ordering products from our website. They're just as much involved in the politics today and in this presidential race as the Americans are. And, you know, there, like I said, there are people who are the explainers, the educators, and then there are people who, you know, say, well, I don't agree with you, here's why, or, you know, shoot off a bunch of different, you know, names and whatever else, because they can't, you know, come up with anything else to say. But that's just how it is. We've really got a healthy diversity of individuals who both agree and don't agree. But what I love to see the most are the people that don't agree with us. They state reasons why. They state their facts. They state their opinions. And they actually do interact intelligently with the people who do agree with our movement. And that's something that I honestly, with the way that our brains work today with this generation, I didn't expect to see that. But to see it is quite humbling indeed.
Interesting. And so I've noticed when you post content, you use a number of hashtags. So let's talk about that for a second. And I've noticed, you know, I don't have 37,000 followers, but I've noticed that if I add some hashtags to my photos, that I'll get likes from those that are outside of my network. So can you talk a little bit about what role hashtags play in your communication strategy on Instagram?
You know, it's just people, they can go to a specific hashtag and see all of the different posts that fall under that specific hashtag. And it's just the way that people reach out. It's the way that people gain followers. It's the way that people create awareness to something. So they, you know, we try and add as many hashtags as we can relevant to the movement or relevant to that particular post or meme. And people will go through and see it. And like I said, come over to our site and be like, okay, I like this or I don't like this. And it works. It seems to work. But that's how we generate such a following. That's how our numbers grow. You know, not to mention our specific, we have specific dates and times that we do post. So people can see that consistency and see that it's not just one day, okay, I feel like posting something, but I'm not going to post anything for another week until something else happens in the news or in the media.
What about analytics? Do you get any sort of analytics from Instagram in terms of how you structure your future posts? So how do you use analytics, if you use them at all?
As far as analytics go, we don't actually spend a lot of time on them. We look at the results and we try to share more of the things that work and less of the things that don't. But we don't actually spend a ton of time being introspective about it. We create more and try, you know, spreading the message, and it's worked so far, but we have a constant source of negative inspiration. And because of that, that really gives us more ammo to, you know, use and to motivate us and to motivate our political movement.
Interesting. So when exactly did you start your Instagram account, if you have that offhand?
Yeah, we got started in mid-2015. It slow rolled in a couple of good Fox News media mentions that really drove us up, going into peaks and valleys, depending on Hillary Clinton's actions. We haven't necessarily seen a lot of change in the algorithms, but we think that from an Instagram standpoint, we're successful because we tag and because we use those hashtags, and we have a high engagement with the sharing, and we just keep, you know, keeping up with our regular posts and going on from there, you know, seeing what people like, seeing what people don't like, and really just kind of basing that around our audience.
Right. So just to fill our listeners in, back in June, Instagram made a number of changes to its algorithms to be more structured along the Facebook news feed. So ranking and ordering content in a way that you would see on Facebook. So you haven't noticed any changes from June in terms of the number of followers?
That's correct.
Okay. So my last question is, what happens after November 8th? What happens to Hillary for prison after the election? Will you maintain a presence online? Will you use the base that you've built somehow? Or will you just simply close down the campaign, regardless of who's president?
We will absolutely continue. You know, if she doesn't win, there's still justice to be done. This isn't so much about the election, but about justice and people being held accountable for actions that have terribly affected the people. If she loses, she still needs to be held accountable, and the same as if she wins. And there's enough passion amongst the people to help fuel our movement. You know, we've got international shipments and everything. We have no intention of closing down until she's indicted and has gone to trial. And the thing about what we're doing, and especially about social media. You know, a lot of people say, hey, you know, social media politics is a waste of time. You're not actually changing anyone's mind. But that's just not true. I can speak from a personal standpoint because, one, my mind has been changed on a couple of things with what I do personally on Facebook. But I've also interacted with people who have told me that I have changed their minds, or I have allowed them to take a step back and say, hey, let me reapproach this from a different angle. And social media, Instagram, Facebook, our website, everything really gives people the opportunity to say, you know, no, we're not done with Hillary Clinton. We're not done with Benghazi. We're not done with the email scandals and her blatant disregard and neglect to the safety and security of the American people, as well as our soldiers and individuals overseas fighting to keep us safe. And that's the most important part about it. It's not just what we as individuals for the Hillary for Prison movement believe, but also what is best for the country. And really, those people, our audience in particular, is what drives us and motivates us to keep going. And if anything, if she does win, Hillary for Prison will just become the biggest headache she has ever had.
Emily, this has been super interesting. Thanks again for taking the time out to speak with us.
You're welcome. I really appreciate it.
My guest today has been Emily Longworth, official spokesperson for the Hillary for Prison movement. You can check out their website, hillaryforprison.net, and their Facebook and Instagram accounts at Hillary for Prison. Apologies for the sound quality at times during this episode. There's a little bit of technical lag sometimes when communicating across the Atlantic. That wraps it up for this edition of the Social Media and Politics podcast. Big thanks to everyone here at Copenhagen University Radio, editing by Peter Urbeck. And the funky jams you're listening to are produced by Earfunk out of New Orleans. I'm your host, Michael Pesetta, signing off from Copenhagen. See you next time.